What's up, everybody? This is Chris. You're listening to Truth Be Told. Today we got a special treat. Had Matt Barrett from the band Spoken with us last week. He did a little show here in Glen Rock, and I got to do an interview with him, so I'm going to get to share that with you guys. It's pretty good. He even plays a little snippet of one of his new songs on his new worship album that he's about ready to release. So looking forward to that. Just want to encourage you guys to be in your Bibles, to be studying, to be digging. Ultimately, truth is good, even if it means we're wrong. So that's what we should want. We should want to dig at the truth, even if it means that we have to be humble and admit that we were going in a wrong direction. So I just want to encourage people to be brave. Dig for the truth. Don't be afraid to listen to each other. I also just, like I said, I want to encourage you to be in your Bibles, reading the scriptures, and digging through God's revelation. J.I. Packer said in his book, Knowing God, the Christian's instincts of trust and worship are stimulated very powerfully by knowledge of the greatness of God. So what that boils down to is, the more you dig, the more you know, the more you express, and the more you grow in your relationship with God and your ability to worship Him. When God reveals Himself to people in the Scriptures, we see them falling flat on their face and worried that they're in danger because God's majesty is overwhelming. Once God's majesty overwhelms you, a lot of these small things that we perseverate on, that we obsess over, they get where they belong. They get small in the presence of God. So study your Bibles. Dig for truth. All right, we're going to go ahead and listen to that interview with Matt. He starts right out of the gate with just basically giving his testimony of how he became a Christian. So I hope you guys enjoy. Here we go.
I lived across the street from a church. I had never been to church a day in my life at the age of 12, but skateboarding was my life. That's all I cared about. That's all I wanted to do. At that point I had hopes and dreams of being a professional skateboarder, but so that's just what I just immersed my whole life in, is skateboarding. And the church across the street had really good concrete, and churches normally have good concrete, nice asphalt, you know. And so I was over there skating one day, and this kid walked up and was like, hey, man, can I see your board? I'm like, sure. He did a heel flip. I was learning heel flips at the time. So he related to me immediately. I'm like, that is awesome. That just happened. Anyway, he's like, hey, we're having some junk food, whatever, if you're interested. So I went into this big white building that I'd also skateboarded on their wooden wheelchair ramps out front a lot, and they were having a potluck dinner. And so, I'd never been to a potluck. It was like Thanksgiving times 10 is what it was. I'm like, what is going on? So there's all this free food and people of all ages there. There were teenagers there, there were little kids, there were, you know, people who were 75, 80 years old, and everyone was so nice and so kind, and they'd be like, oh, hey, you're the kid that's always skateboarding outside, whatever, hey, it's great to see you here, whatever. I'm like, hey, thanks. I'm like, what is going on? Free food, people are nice, what's the problem? Anyway, I had a few people tell me, like, hey, once you know, Jesus loves you and has a plan for your life. You're welcome here anytime. I'm like, okay. And I didn't know who Jesus was. So I'm like, that's cool, whoever that is. And it's cool that I'm welcome here. You know, it's right across the street from my house. And so I started going there every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday evening. And a month after I started going there, I accepted Christ.
Awesome.
On February 2nd of 1992, you know, and it was just something that I didn't know that I needed Jesus. I had no clue. Didn't know He existed. At the age of 14, across the street from a church. And so, however, I mean, God used what I was giving my life to, and that was skateboarding. He used that to reach me. And so that was that. And, you know, I still skateboard some. I try not to. I mean, I'm not young anymore. But bring a skateboard with me on most tours. I didn't bring one on this one. I try to be a little more safe because I have to provide for my family. I'm normally in those cities to play a show, and if I have my legs and back broken, I can't do that. But so that's that. And I skateboard some. If I show up at a venue and there's kids on skateboards, I find myself on the skateboard the same way. I mean, there's no guarantee they're believers. And so if I can skate with them and relate to them the same way someone related to me, that's awesome.
Right. Is that how you got... is that where you found... Where did you find your genre of music? Like, how
you know, at that point, everything I was listening to... and before I started going there, I was listening to Metallica, I was listening to Slayer, Testament, all these bands. And so when I started going to that church, this guy named Mark Anderson, actually, which I didn't know it at the time, I found out quickly, but Mark Anderson gave me a Petra cassette tape. Uh-huh. And so it was really crazy because Jason invited me to church the first time. That was his stepson. Mark's the one that gave me music for the first time. I got White Heart, White Cross, Blood Good, all these bands. And so then, this is before Spoken started, but I remember I bought Living Sacrifice in Habit on cassette tape at a Christian bookstore at the Northwest Arkansas Mall. It was called Noah's Ark, is what it's called. And then we started buying Dig Jesus, Applehead, Blenderhead, Chatterbox, and then came Snuff the Punk by POD. That's right around the time frame of when Spoken began.
I didn't know POD had been around that long.
Yeah, POD already had Snuff the Punk out before we recorded our first record.
So you guys just hit your 19 years.
19 years, yeah. February 10th of this year, 19 years. And it was crazy because we had started 8 months. Spoken started... February 10th of 1996, and within 8 months we had signed to our first record deal. The thing was, like, before we signed to the deal we did, we were talking to Rescue Records out of like San Diego, and I was talking to the guy that ran the label. He's like, well, I mean, I love your stuff, but right now we're kind of tied up. We're trying to launch my son's band. They're called POD.
And I'm
like,
oh, wow.
What is going on? He's like, but I can refer you to a label up the coast. I'm like, okay, cool. So I'm like, we got to check out who POD was. And POD, they were about to come out with Brown at that point when we signed to a label. It was crazy. It was a small world.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. It's a small genre. I mean, I don't... So at the... It really was kind of... So you guys were really part of the pioneer of the Christian metal movement. So, like, a lot of these bands now, like August Burns Red and Wolves at the Gate and these new Righteous Vendetta that are coming out now.
Yeah.
Really...
It's crazy to...
You guys helped lay some of that foundation.
To see... You know, and that's weird to think of. I mean, it is true. Like, yeah, we were there in the beginning of a lot of this stuff, but yet there were so many awesome bands that had been doing it for so much longer than us. That we were influenced by,
sure.
That in the Christian market, you know? And so then once we were able to start playing and touring and just killing ourselves on the road, we started meeting these bands, started meeting Staves Acre, finally met Living Sacrifice, you know, all these bands back when Squad 5-0, Dear Ephesus, all these bands that existed. And so it was really cool because you were able to see the market exist, make it, you know, you were able to see it grow, like when MXPX blew up.
Sure.
You know, and so it was pretty awesome. And then, but at the same time, you exist for almost 20 years, you watch the market crash too.
Oh yeah.
And so now we all have to work harder than ever to rebuild it. And when bands realize we have to do it together with the promoters, with management, with labels, bands won't complain so much.
And so many are self-promoting now. Like, you're doing your second Kickstarter,
yep.
Or Spoken.
Yeah.
And you're doing your whole thing on your own, where you used to really seek that label, right?
Yeah. Yeah, because it was beneficial. You know?
Right.
It was something where it was new to us. It was exciting. But the thing is, like, over time, you meet the same people that the labels deal with. You meet all these same people. That doesn't mean that we wouldn't enjoy having a label on board, because that would mean they would handle most marketing. They would be like a bank when it comes to recording a record. Therefore, we wouldn't need to do a Kickstarter. But at the same time, the fans are the reason, like, other than God letting us still be a band and feeling like we're following after what God wants us to do, the fans are what have kept us alive for 19 years.
Right.
They've come to the shows. They bought, you know, normally like a $5 ticket to get in. So they help us pay for gas that way. They buy merchandise. They buy our CDs if they find it in a store. They are more support than fans will ever know. And you can't really, you can't just post a video about that and be like, oh man, we love you guys, thanks so much. You know, and you can't get the gist across on your Kickstarter. You can't, that's impossible. You have to be able to see them face to face.
I think the good part, well, I mean, that, and that's awesome. And just like hanging out with you and, you know, you're a musician that we've been listening to for the past 15 years. And so that's pretty cool to just hang out and,
it's weird.
Yeah, it is weird.
It's weird.
But, I think that's what your fans want, right? They want more music. So that's you know, knowing that you're still making music for them, I think is very gratifying for your fans.
Yeah, I think it's cool, but I think, I wish that more bands would realize the only reason they exist and can pay for gas is because of the people who come to their shows.
Sure.
And therefore, it's like, you need to go completely so far above and beyond and out of your way to make sure that you are talking to every person.
It's much more humbling to be like, hey, thank you for bringing me here.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I hope you enjoy
my talent. Thanks for helping me fill a date. Thanks for even caring about me coming to your town.
Sure.
You know, it's a partnership is what it is, and most bands don't see it that way.
Sure.
They show up and like, what can you do for me? What are you going to do for me? Oh, I need a runner to take me to the hotel. I need a runner to take me to play golf.
I'm not going to name the band, but some friends of mine they were part of a concert out here a while back called The Up. It was like a festival,
yeah.
The Uprising. And one of the bands, it was a well-known Christian metal band, my buddy said they're total divas, man. They said they wouldn't play here unless we went out and bought them new underwear and socks.
Yeah.
Like each member of the band, I mean, it was part of their demand list.
Doing that. You need to get me some new underwear.
I need new.
How dumb! Like, hey man, make sure you got my underwear.
Or I'm not playing.
You got a dude going out and buying you underwear. If they would only look at that, I'm like, no, I think you can do without. Like, you can wait until you get home and go to Walmart yourself.
So you got this new worship album.
Yeah.
Pretty much ready to, like, spring, right?
Yeah.
Pretty soon?
As soon as I get mixes, I can, you know, approve the mixes and then get it pressed and get it sent out.
So you got to hear a little bit of that tonight, and I was just hoping that you could just share one of those songs, or even just a snippet of one of those songs, and we'll just wrap it up and say thanks.
Yeah. You know, there are things in our lives that we go through that we obviously would rather not, you know, but yet in those situations we have to either figure it out how we're going to do it, or maybe it comes naturally to some people, whatever, but there are times when we have to truly ask God, and like, hey, here's my role as a father. What can I do to actually, with words, let my child know that everything's okay. Let them know that it's all right. And I think in a lot of people's lives too, like, they're dealing with situations where they don't realize they just need a savior to carry them through it. That's
right.
It. Like, that's truly all they need is, it's the footprints in the sand situation.
Sure.
Where it's like,
sure.
Wait, God, what? I thought you were going to be with me all the time. And to hear God say, yeah, that's when I carried you, is pretty sweet, you know?
Right.
But often we forget that. This is a song just, It's about that. It's about not trying to handle it on my own because I know that I can't, and just really trying to hear what God has you doing. I'll play a verse and a chorus. I wanna hear you, see you when I close my eyes, feel you tonight. I wanna touch your face, see your eyes, know that you are here by my side. Whenever I'm lost in my dreams, you are there, you carry me.
Thanks, Matt.
For sure.
Matt Baird.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening. Follow us on Facebook at 321 The Revolution.